Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Oh, Ben. It's Christmas Eve, and I've got the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, it's inside you. Do you want a Christmas exorcism from the Christmas spirit?
Yeah, you just take this, my body, whatever it is. It's not COVID, to be clear.
You've done two tests.
Yeah. I've done two tests, and Ashton asked, and no, I didn't have a mad sesh last night. This is just how my body has chosen to punish me.
For context, it's a Monday morning, so Ben definitely didn't have a mad sesh last night.
No, I did not. But this is how I sound this week, so just be ready for that.
I'm impressed by like the high and the low you just hit when you were introduced, or we started the podcast. You
went... That's sort of my limit now.
So low as well. It's crazy.
Yeah, what a range, huh?
I know.
Yeah. Just need to get me to that church so I can sing in the lovely Crimble choir.
Sound like that all the time. Just try and,
if you don't mind.
Keep it.
Yeah, I'll try. Maybe if I just sort of punch myself in the throat several times a day. Mm-hmm. Then I can really just
swallow some glass.
Yeah, you know, I'll do all of it, and I'll tell you how I feel next week. No, I won't, because we're off next week.
Yay!
We're taking a little festive break. It is.
I like how all of us, without hesitation, said yay.
Yay!
No content next week.
Thank God. It's Christmas Eve, isn't it? It's Christmas Eve today.
It is.
We're releasing this podcast a day early. Merry Christmas Eve, everybody. Why would we release our Christmas podcast on Christmas Day when obviously you're all going to be busy doing Christmas things, aren't you? And then you'll listen on Boxing. Although a lot of you will probably still end up listening after Christmas, but still.
Yeah.
We hope you are prepared for the festive period and that you're all safe and you're taking due COVID precautions. Of course, this is our second consecutive week of working remotely, at least as far as the podcast is concerned. So we will see where we land in the new year. It may continue to be remote. We may be back in the office. Who flipping knows? Are you guys ready for Christmas?
Yeah, hell yeah.
No, I'm not really. I mean, really? I'm ready for it to be Christmas, but I haven't wrapped any presents. My last present arrived today, 5 days before Christmas. Actually, that's a lie. I ordered some presents last night, but I'm not going to see them until after Christmas, so I'm not too worried about it. But I haven't wrapped anything. I haven't even got any wrapping paper. Honestly, I'm all over the place.
Ashton, please. So.
Brilliant. Sucks to be one of Ashton's relatives.
Yeah, sorry about it.
Can you imagine? Goodness me. I wrapped all my stuff last night, so there is time. You're not too far behind.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'm going to qualitydiscounts.com, which is a shop in the town that this house is in.
The physical store has .com in its
name. It's called qualitydiscount.com is the name of the physical shop of which you go into. Yeah, and I'm going in there to get some wrapping paper this afternoon. After work.
Quality discounted wrapping paper.com.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of festive Christmassy things, which makes sense on the homepage. Do we want to look at gifts for him, gifts for her, or gifts for kids?
The three genders.
Yeah. Gifts for kids. There we are. Yes, that's them. Let's see. 12 days of Pringles advent calendar.
$3.98.
Our price, it's nearly over, $3.98. Save £7.
Imagine having some Pringles at 8 o'clock in the morning before
hey, kids,
going to school.
Kids are lawless. They would love that.
Yeah,
I would love that.
Unicorn Dash Slide Track. Save £12. $7.99. Yeah. Pub quiz game. $4.99. I mean, you could just Google pub quiz questions.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, it's just crap, isn't it?
Yeah.
They just sell a lot of crap.
Yeah, pretty much. But wrapping
and
paper.
And wrapping paper,
so, you know.
And that's
I like
need.
That on the website as well, there's like all of this crap, and then halfway down is FIFA 22.
Is it? Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, the Xbox Only... One and PlayStation 4.
Oh, but not
eFootball.
Not
eFootball. No.
No.
What a waste.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you're all more prepared on Christmas Eve than Ashton is on Monday of this week.
Yeah.
But this is, of course, our video game podcast. And each and every week, we're sponsored by a very, very real video game adjacent sponsor. They help us keep the lights on. They're very real. And we have a different one every week. I think Ashton has the ad read in front of her this week.
I do. And of course, it is festive. Oh. I have to read the ad read for you here. 'Twas the five nights before Christmas, when all through the Pizzaplex, not a creature was stirring, except for a mouse android thing. The stockings were hung by the pizza oven with care, in the hopes that the big chicken one would soon be there.
Oh.
The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while I pooped my pants at the sight of their scary heads. Coming now, because it's Christmas, Five Nights at Freddy's Before Christmas.
Yay!
Brilliant. I like how you rhymed beds with heads instead of Fred's, which, you know, would have been more context relevant. But
oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
No, Ashton didn't rhyme it.
No, sorry.
The company
you make five
whoever wrote this, you know, they clearly didn't spend much time on it, did they?
I was very impressed. I thought that was great.
Excellent. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not real.
Oh, Ashton, what?
On. Sorry to ruin your Christmas.
Nah, I literally ruined Christmas.
But there is a Five Nights at Freddy's game that came out like this weekend. So if you are really upset about it, you could just play that one.
Is that the one they've been advertising on the PlayStation State of Play thing for like 12 years?
At every conference and awards ceremony for about, for five years.
Pretty much.
Two white men in suits did a handshake about 6 years ago, and then we hear about it every 3 months.
Basically. That's the one, yeah. It's out now, finally, so hopefully you won't be hearing
about
it
too good.
Much. Yeah, hopefully. Also, Ben, or Peter, where are we walking today?
Yes, I believe someone suggested something festive last week.
Dashing through the snow. We'll be dashing through the snow.
We're doing it.
I don't mean to criticise. I assume Kieran, who put the podcast together last week, but I'm pretty sure we were dashing through some sand and not dashing through the mud.
Oh, Kieran.
Like
I don't know if I've seen the video version from last week.
Kieran,
I'm
come on, bud.
Pretty sure it's sand.
Does he know what mud is?
I don't know. He's Irish, so maybe not.
Yeah, they don't have mud there.
No.
Yeah.
Has anyone checked that Kieran knows what mud is?
I don't know, but I'm now currently navigating my way to the channel to look at what we were dashing through.
He had so much power. We could have been dashing through anything.
Yeah. Here it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's certainly moist, whatever it is.
Okay.
Could be mud, but it could be a kind of a... One
it
of those,
kind of looks
like
a sandy beach that's like
got
a bit
like
wet.
One of those not very nice beaches.
Yeah.
you're criticizing it. It may well be a beach local to where Kieran grew up that he's very
It could
of.
Well be. Yeah.
Oh, we seem to be dashing through photo. Like the world's worst beach, the worst beach I've ever seen.
Yeah.
No, we're not sponsored by the Festive Freddy game. We're sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can submit questions to this podcast each and every week. We source questions from you. But there are lots of other tiers available as well. And we implore you to go check them out. There's loads of really, really cool stuff there. Loads of early access and a couple of exclusive things. So yeah, go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump.
It's time for a question.
No, it's not. We've got to talk about something else before you jump in there, Peter Austin. You can't. You hold your horses or you hold your reindeers. Okay. We're going to talk about facebook.com/teamtriplejump.
That's right. Yeah.
Please go like and follow and
please
interact
go.
Please
with
go.
The page.
Please go.
Please go. Please go. When we get to 10,000, we can pay James Jenkins editing this podcast.
Mm-hmm. We can.
We can pay him. And maybe we can take Kieran to the real beach that's not sad sand.
We can take Kieran to some real mud so he can know what it is.
This is mud.
We had a comment on Weirdest Games Ever the other day that said, I did think it was a joke at first, but they do keep saying it. Are they actually not paying Ashton?
They're not.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. Ashton. No. She's working
She's just
for free.
Really passionate about podcasts.
Yes, so passionate.
That's why she's here.
Yeah.
But do, please, it's all we want for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Is that? It's 10,000 Facebook follows. Realistically, it's not going to happen. So guess what? It follows your stubborn asses into 2022, and we're not going to stop. So
that's all we want for Easter. We'd like it for Easter, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easter bunny. And then, oh God, I hope not. Potentially Christmas
again. Summer solstice.
Is all we want. Please like our Facebook page.
I'd like to think by next Christmas we'll have gained 3,000 followers.
Please. I'm so tired of asking you, and you're probably tired of hearing it, but we're not going to stop.
We're not going to stop.
Bloody get on it.
Well, shall I ask a question while people go and follow us on Facebook? This is from Daniel Gregory, two first names, who says, "Season's greetings, Bap. Wishing you all the best for Christmas and New Year. With not many games being set at Christmas or even based around Christmas..." Full stop. "With that said, what Christmas film would you turn into a game or base a game around? All the love and Merry Christmas." Thank you, Daniel.
Merry Christmas, Daniel.
Merry Christmas.
We played the Home Alone game on Worst Games Ever, didn't we? Where you mostly just skid around the place on a sledge, and then you go into houses and you've maybe put a couple of traps there, and that's kind of it. What I would like to do is see a new Home Alone game in quite a kind of physics-based sandbox engine that allows you to like really just almost create your own traps. Like, it just gives you all of the component parts. It gives you string, it gives you like adhesive, it gives you paint cans, you know, little cars and marbles and spiky things, and you can it gives you the kind of creative freedom to booby trap the house in ways that, you know, people can get really creative if you give them enough kind of interesting tools in video games. I think you'd see some like really interesting, almost like Rube Goldberg style traps and stuff. And I'd like to see that. Maybe it could have a multiplayer component and you have to fortify a house, and then some other players come in as the wet bandits and have to try and get through all your traps and stuff. I think that's or maybe what I'm saying is, I want to play Orcs Must Die, except it's the Wet Bandits Must Die.
Yeah, except you just murder people.
Yeah, you just place traps around the house and shoot them with a crossbow. But no, yeah, like a super like physics-y, quite reactive, creative, free-flowing trap-em-up is what I'd like to see. Almost like Gmod, in a way. But
yeah, or Bugsnax.
Bug snacks, yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that would be great. I think, you know, bring back Home Alone. When are they going to make a new, decent Home Alone game? That's the question everyone is asking, I think.
That is, it's on all of our lips, yeah.
Ashton, what do you think?
Sorry to cut you off, Peter. Oh, yeah. I arrived at my parents' house on Saturday morning, and the first thing they said was, "Hey Ben, when are they going to make a good Home Alone game?"
They did. They said, "Ben, do you know about video games.
Do you have any news?" Your grandma's asking. Oh, grandma's on the phone. My dad popped his head in. Grandma's on the phone. She wants to know when they're going to make a new good Home Alone game. I was like, guys, please stop.
They're working
on it. That's crazy, because my mum messaged me yesterday and was like, "Ashton, when are we going to get a good Home Alone game?"
Thank you. Exactly. Oh, wow. See, when's it going to happen?
When's it going to happen? It's crazy. We deserve a good Home Alone game, and I'm not surprised everyone's asking about it.
See, that's really strange, because now this makes a lot of sense. I had an anonymous note through the door yesterday that was like put together from letters
attached
cut out
to
of a
brick.
Yeah, attached to a brick. And it just said the word "when?" question mark. And I was like, what the hell is that supposed to be? But now that's what they will have been asking. They didn't feel the need to, you know, put the rest of the sentence in there, because everyone knows that's what everyone's asking.
Knows.
Everybody knows. It's obvious.
When?
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 Soon. coming from Amblin Interactive. It's on its way.
Good.
I don't know if Amblin made Home Alone. I think they did.
No, I have no idea. It sounds like the kind of studio that would make Home Alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, now that we've all asked the big questions, other movie-based games I thought could be fun. Every Hallmark movie, aka the trash Christmas films that I know and love, would make a fantastic dating sim. Like a telltale game from the perspective of businesswoman from New York who has gone back to small town to help with family farm or sell property that belongs to aunt and meets handsome farmhand who is also the mayor kind of situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would be quite fun.
But like also, a visual novel.
Yeah, like a visual novel. Exactly. Yeah. And I would also like Love Actually, but it's played like a Dark Pictures anthology game.
Oh my gosh.
Did they die in gruesome ways?
Maybe.
Are they all assholes?
Yeah, yeah. But everyone plays a different character from Love Actually, and you just play through the movie, but obviously it's a bit gruesome because it's a Dark Pictures game. Blood Actually. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, I think it would make a great Dark Pictures game, in fact. I think, I don't know, when are they going to make a good Love Actually game? That's the next question on everyone's lips, isn't it?
That is what they're asking.
Yeah, they don't stop. They're saying.
And also, Supermassive Games has apparently just signed a contract with a publisher, I can't remember who it is, not Bandai Namco, to make something that apparently is in the vein of Until Dawn, the Dark Pictures anthology. So this could be it, this could be what they're making.
What they're making, coming next Christmas.
Coming next Christmas. Yeah, Blood they do actually. Make games in a year, so yes.
Yeah. Ben, any suggestions for what other games we could put in our Christmas playlist?
Yeah, I mean, it's your boy, Telltale Simp. I am picturing the Muppets Christmas Carol, the Telltale Adventure.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see that in a Telltale style.
That's what I'm picturing. You make decisions. Really nice. As you go through, you play as the lead character, Scroogey. Is that how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ebenezer Scroogey.
Scrooge.
Scrooge.
That's a horrible word.
You know what, actually, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Scrooge. You have QTEs, but they're in time with like the musical pieces, and you're just sort of singing along, Guitar Hero style.
There goes Mr. Humbug. I can see it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Scrooge.
Scrooge.
Depending on the nature of your decisions, you can achieve one of three different endings that the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future warn him about. Mm-hmm. I think it would just be a lovely festive time for the whole family. Just sort of playing through a Muppet Christmas Carol, the Telltale Adventure.
I'd play out of that.
Yeah. Will there be an option, like, if you fail a QTE that you accidentally, like, boot Tiny Tim just down the
Tiny
street,
Tim but... will remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah,
big time.
I hope he does.
Yeah, well, we'll see how long he remembers it for. It didn't look like he was long for this world. So when it says Tiny Tim will remember this, it could be maybe a week.
Or three to 6 months, potentially.
Also, they're not called...
That's a long time.
Yeah.
They're not called QTEs in that game. They're called Jack Frostonisms.
Very good.
Nice.
There he is.
Very
he
good.
Is. He came to play today.
He certainly did.
that's my suggestion. Anyway.
Well, I think we've solved gaming generally.
I think so.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. God bless us. Ashton, where are we going next?
Well, because it's Christmas time, and, you know, Christmas time is a time famously for trying something new. So, we're doing a new...
No traditions at Christmas at all.
No.
Never. Everything every year, completely different.
Cutting edge.
Yeah, I thought we could do a segment that I think I'm going to call... What do you guys think about this title? I don't know if you're going to like it. Mm. I think we should call it What We Play In.
I hate it.
Oh, I'll workshop something else for the new year. Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, maybe we'll keep it. But I thought we could talk about What We Play In.
Mm. It's time for What We Play In. It's What We Play In time. Peter Austin, what have you been playing?
Well, we've only had 3 days since we last recorded the previous podcast.
This is true.
But fortunately, I do have something to report, and it's good in two ways. Well, I'll tell you what it is first. I completed Grand Theft Auto 3.
You did it.
I did it. I was on the previous podcast, I was really close to the end, but yeah, I did it. I finished it for the first time in my life. I never finished it as a child. A child.
Wow.
That was interesting. I must admit, for the first time in a very long time, I had to use a guide to do the last mission, because the problem with that game is, you know, it's one of those games, it's like the complaint I had about the Battlefront 2 campaign, where really it's just all of the quote-unquote missions are very blatantly stuck together with, you can just see like the constituent parts. It's just like simple objectives strung together with a bit of dialogue. Do you know what I mean? Like it's all quite transparently just, this is this thing, do that, then do this. The final mission involves you chasing the baddie in a helicopter, and then she lands on top of this building, and you have to like make your way over there to kill her and save your damsel. And there are a bunch of vehicles that are like blocking the way, like these trucks, cartel like truck things that are blocking up gateways and stuff. And what I did was I had a bulletproof car that had been given to me by one of the other bosses, and I was just like ramming through these vehicles and getting to the end to then go and fight this woman. And I just kept on dying. I was like, what am I doing wrong here? Like, the game seems to be like telling me to do this, because also what it does is it removes every weapon from you at the start of that mission. There's a cutscene where you have to go into the baddie's mansion and you get frisked at the gate and they take all of your guns off you. So I was like, well, I can't like fight the guys. What am I supposed to do? And as it turns out, you're supposed to like squish a couple of the guys who are standing near the trucks and shooting at you, take their guns, and then also just off to the side in the dark, there's a sniper rifle hidden under a tree, which I did not know about. So it took me like many, many attempts, like thinking that I was supposed to just be smashing through these roadblocks and getting to the end and then just, you know, saving this girl. But and I looked it up and they were like, oh no, you need to use that car if you can, and then like run some people over to get some weapons, and there's a secret sniper rifle here. And yeah, it took me a while, but you know, it was good. And the ending of that game sees your silent protagonist and the lady who he saved kind of walking off into the sunset, and I was like, oh, that's nice. Like, I wouldn't go as far as to say I ship them, because I don't think I've ever shipped anyone in my life. But I was like, I was hoping that they would get together at the end. And so I was really pleased that they were just walking off to, you know, start a life together. And then the cutscene fades to black and she like starts chatting again. And then suddenly there's this gunshot and she just gets cut off. And I think the implication is that he just got like sick of her talking and and just executed her, because lol. Mid-noughties gaming, am I right?
Wow.
Women. Oh,
Christ.
Was implied there.
Real.
Yeah, wow. I think that's what they were going for. It was kind of difficult. There were no subtitles. I didn't hear what she said. But she said something about $50. And I think the joke was either she annoyed him by chatting, or he thought, oh, she's going to be expensive to, you know, have as a partner. And so he just murdered her. I don't know. That's what it seemed like. So, it's a bit much for me. I was like, oh, what a bitter taste at the end there.
A better ending would be if he spoke for the first time.
It would.
And he sounded like Kermit the Frog. And he said, thank you for playing my game. have a blessed Sunday. And that, regardless of the day that you finish it.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's how GTA 3 ends.
I would have liked him, if he was going to speak for the first time, to do what Crash does in Crash of the Titans, which I've not played, but I'm aware of this because it's a bit of a meme in the Crash community, which is Crash is silent all the way through that game. And then right at the end, in the final cutscene, Coco says to him, like, oh yeah, we did it, Crash. Anyway, now let's go and get some, like, some pancakes. And Crash just goes, pancakes! And then the game just ends.
Oh, God.
That's what I want Claude to do. I want him to... Claude Speed.
Pancakes!
And then the credits just roll. Also, the credits in that game were, like, slightly juddery and hanging and, like, frame ratey, which is great.
They couldn't even do credits,
yeah,
right.
Literally just from start to finish, that game is slightly broken. I enjoyed it, though. And, I mean, best of all, I'm just glad that I finished it and I'll be able to talk about a different game now on on what we play in every week. But I did enjoy it, mostly from a nostalgic point of view. And, some of the bugs were genuinely funny. Yesterday I saw a car that was like being forced down into the floor. I don't know what the force was. It was just on the road, but you could see the chassis was like being pushed down onto the wheels, like the suspension, and it was just like juddering and juddering and juddering, and sparks were coming out, and then eventually it just took too much damage and set on fire and blew up. But I don't know what caused it or anything. So
I think that was Satan pulling it.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. So there we go. I finished that game at long last, and you now never need to hear me talk about it ever again. and I probably won't be playing Vice City and San Andreas particularly imminently. You know, I've said before that GTA 3 was kind of my GTA game as a kid, so that was the one I really wanted to play. I'll play the others eventually, but I definitely need a break at this point.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, probably either back to God of War or I'm going to move on to Guardians next. So, see how that goes.
Both good shouts.
Mm.
Yes.
Ashton, what have you been playing?
So, I've been playing a couple things in the last 4 days. I've come back to Leicester, so I'm back with MB. So we played a bit of Orcs Must Die 3 again and Back for Blood. We've been going through Orcs Must Die and just trying to get 5 skulls in everything.
Ooh, excellent.
Just mainly because we kept getting, our ass handed to us in the final, like, war scenario situation.
Oh yeah.
Which is really annoying. So we decided to go and upgrade all of our gear and stuff and just go back and get all of the skulls. I can play Orcs Must Die for a bit, but then I do get bored and I'm like, okay, I think I've had enough now of watching these orcs just wander into my grinder trap and die over and over again. But it is fun for a bit, and then I think my brain just goes, okay, we're done now, and we stopped playing it for a couple of weeks, but maybe we'll finish that very soon. I've also been playing more Deathloop, quite a lot of Deathloop actually, and I do really love Deathloop. I think it's such a good game. I've been kind of figuring things out like throughout the day. There's one visionary that I just cannot survive. Every time I go and try and get her, she just blows the island up, and
I know that one.
Yeah, and I thought I stopped it once, and then it just blew up anyway. And I actually out loud swore and was like, "God damn it!" I was so annoyed. But I am enjoying it. If I could just get past her, then I would feel a lot better. I keep getting killed at like the second time of day because I keep going back to try and get her every time and just dying.
She was one of the last ones I went for because I think I just sort of forgot that she was there.
Yeah.
Was like, oh yeah, there's a visionary I haven't done yet.
Yeah.
And that was one of the only visionaries in the entire game that I think it must have been pure, absolute blind, dumb luck. But I managed to take her out without anyone knowing, and I got a trophy. And I was like, oh, that was her that I just instinctively stabbed because she walked through a door. I didn't even realize that was her.
Yeah, I think tough, to be though. Fair, she is. Well, I think she is the last one that I've also like not actively gone for yet. So I think I'm the same, which is why I'm trying to kind of take her out. But also this week on Xbox Game Pass, the game The Gunk was released. It's kind of so far a linear story game. You're on this planet, you've landed there with your ship partner and the robot called Kurt, who always says, "You got served." That's like his only speech pattern that he's able to do. And you're on this planet because you've had like as an energy pulse or something that you're going to investigate, and there's like a corruption, and of course it's bright red because obviously corruption is red and goopy. I've been playing that for about 3 hours, and I was really enjoying it. It's pretty cute and it looks really nice, and the voice acting is really good in it as well. I'd not seen any advertisement for it. Like, I'd not seen it really. I think I saw like one trailer a couple of months ago, and then it suddenly appeared on my Xbox Game Pass, and I thought that looks pretty cute. So I thought I'd play that, and I enjoyed it. So if you've got Xbox Game Pass and you're looking for a new game to play, I recommend The Gunk so far.
The gunk.
The gunk. So yeah, that's what I've been playing this 4 days. Ben, what have you been playing?
Played a little bit more Far Cry 6. I found a new way to amuse myself in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go into photo mode.
Yeah.
And you can do different poses.
Yeah.
And at least 5 of them are dances.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. So whenever there's those sections where you're like not undercover, because it's pretty obvious who you are really, but like you're attending certain functions and like you don't have any of your weapons and you're just sort of there, whenever they're doing their big speech, me and my co-op partner would go up and stand right behind the person making the speech and then just like samba behind them. And it just makes for the funniest visual ever, because it just doesn't... I think it captures everything about Far Cry. Not Far Cry 6 specifically, but just Far Cry, where it tries to be serious, but it's just bonkers and it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So that was fun. I went to my friend's house yesterday, and Peter, you'll be interested in this, because he's got a modded hard drive that he's put into the expansion bay of his PS2.
Okay.
And he was able to put a load of ROMs and ISOs onto it. So he's got like 50 PS2 games built natively into his PS2.
Oh, that's
saved
cool.
to a memory card, and like they play through the TV and stuff like that. So,
but then you know that they're actually going to run properly because it's the actual hardware.
Yes, precisely. Nice. They load faster, but they still sort of perform, you know, because they're being run on a PS2, they still perform as they would.
They don't have like weird emulator issues.
No.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
That's cool.
And so we played a little bit of SmackDown Here Comes the Pain, which was nice, because I've not played that natively on a PS2 for a while, and that was pretty fun. So played a little bit of that just for like 2 matches, messed around in it.
Mm.
Last night though, I started Halo 1.
Oh yes.
Finally did it. Why do they do that? Why do they tease you, Peter, for like 3 hours with where it sounds like it's about to go duh, 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 but they never, the music never quite builds up to it and it just sort of fades out. I'm like, come on, give me the duh, 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 duh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Duh, 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 duh?
I mean, they save it for the real big moments. The beach level is good at the start. That's got a good intro. I think the music actually plays on that one.
Okay.
And then in the final level, when you do the big climax, has that music too. But are you enjoying it?
Yes, I am. I played
that game.
The first hour and a half-ish for the original Xbox launch games video. So I knew the beginning, but I wasn't playing the Master Chief Collection version. So obviously this has been slightly polished, I'm assuming.
I think it's running in the same engine, which is why you're able to just switch the graphics left and right.
I haven't done that. I'm saying left
and right, but back and forth, you know.
Yeah.
So I think physically and like kind of mechanically, it actually runs identically, but visually it's very much polished, yeah.
I get why this game was a big deal. I mean, I've always understood that anyway, but it, you know, it's not dissimilar to... It's aged, but it's aged...
It has.
It's aged in the same way that Time Splitters has aged, in that it's still very playable and clearly still very good.
I played it on stream, and I thought it definitely had aged.
Yes.
But it still works.
Yeah, it's still definitely really good. One thing I don't like, though, is the driving controls, because they are the same as in Borderlands, and I hate them in Borderlands. Mm-hmm. I just want to use the right stick to look around, but I can't, because it's steer,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I've never... It's fine, but I have driven off cliffs about 3 times now, and that's definitely my fault, but also... I wish the driving controls were different. Maybe you can change them, but this is, you know, this is a 20-year-old game.
I don't know if you can.
Beloved, and I wouldn't want to suggest they should be different, but I've never gotten on with that control scheme in other games either. So, you know, it is what it is. But I am enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to it. It's the game that I am squirreling myself away to play during this Christmas break, just try and get through as much Halo as I can. And I'm looking forward to playing some more later today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I've been playing.
Oh, cute.
Fantastic.
I think it's time for question 2, you know?
Oh, okay.
This one comes from Michael McCarrick. Michael says, "Dearest Bap, I pray this message finds you well and that you have much Christmas spirit about ye. In that vein, what would be your 3 games to convince a non-gamer to see the error of their ways and embrace gamerdom? one from Gaming Past, one from Gaming Present, and one from Gaming Yet to Come. Much love, season's greetings, and regards to all the Walrus Clan.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you very much. One from Gaming Past, I struggled with, because we've played so many terrible games from Gaming Past, and I feel like the Scrooge,
yeah.
When he goes back into the past, he has a pretty miserable time. That's kind of the way it goes. Then in the present, it's quite good, and it's about like celebrating abundance and, you know, just, oh, fantastic. Everything's great. We're all having a wonderful time. Then future.
It's not great for Tiny Tim.
No, it's not great for Tiny Tim. He's got like three weeks in present.
Still got that TB, baby.
Yeah, he can have a nice time now, but his future probably looks pretty bleak.
Just don't look forwards, Tiny Tim.
Just enjoy it the moment to moment of your life.
Yeah, they have a nice time decorating the house or something. From Gaming Past, just to kind of pick perhaps a very iconic one, I thought Bubsy 3D. just to warn people that you can't just pick, because I'm obviously a big fan of the 3D platformer, right? But I think you can't just rely on a genre for a video game. So I think Bubsy 3D is a good example of, hey, you know that thing that you like, Peter? Yeah. Well, look, here, someone did it, look, with a cat, and then it's terrible. So
is it done bad?
I think the Christmas Past message from Bubsy 3D is, look, you can't just have a good idea and then execute it terribly. That's my warning, I think, from Bubsy. Christmas Present, Gaming Present, I should say, according to the question. I think Minecraft. I think that's like an abundant, creative, exciting, community-filled game. I think the Ghost of Christmas Present would quite like Minecraft, I reckon. I can see that happening.
I think you'd have a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. A warning of gaming yet to come. I have chosen the Matrix Unreal Experience, whatever it's called. I've forgotten the name of it. But, you know, again, I think we all need to perhaps consider the trade-off between a good idea versus good execution. Yes, you can, if you wish, try and recreate human faces in the Unreal Engine and they can look almost very good. But actually, that I've not really been able to stop thinking about that since seeing the trailer. So
they haunting your dreams?
They are haunting my dreams, yeah. And I don't want to think about it. And, you know, I think we all need to just be careful. The one other idea I had, though, was, anyone would do, but Peter Molyneux's NFT game. I think the real terror of gaming future is NFT video games. So either just an Ubisoft NFT game or Peter Molyneux's one. I can't remember the name of it. But I think there are some dangerous things of gaming yet to come that we need to just be wary of. Mm. And those are some examples. Ashton?
Before I start, I watched my Ben, play the Matrix Unreal thing this week. It looks better in the actual game than it did in the trailer.
I have heard that, to be fair,
I mean, it's not, when I say a game, it's not really. But, I mean, it looks really good, but also kind of sometimes looks a bit just like every other game you've ever seen. So, you know, take that with a pinch of salt.
Okay, I'll go with Peter Molyneux then.
But also, I didn't take it quite as true to story as you did, and I thought, what game could I show someone who doesn't play games and could get them into gaming from like a past, present, and future perspective? And I kind of went for what game is easy enough to pick up from the past and play that's kind of like, you know, gives you a little taste of gammon.
Just realised I've done a Ben there, and I've like not read a crucial part of the question, which is convince a non-gamer to see that there are other ways and embrace gaming. I just skipped that second sentence.
I just really liked your answer, so I didn't want to say anything. But
yeah, you actually followed the festive line through.
Yeah,
I did, but it was nothing to do with non-gamers. It was just warnings to the gaming industry as a whole. But that's fine.
I think you did great. I'm really proud of you, Peter. Well done.
at least it will give slightly more varied answers in that respect, I suppose.
Yeah.
So we should do that in future. Just completely reinterpret the question in any way we like.
Yeah.
It's Ashton's turn next week to get it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Absolutely.
That's all right. I'll first week back, I'll do my top five games of the year, and I'll just, you know, pick
from
all
2020.
From 2020. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, what game's easy to pick up that you could go back and play that if someone who's not really played games very much. I thought, like, the OG Spyro game, because I think that's one of those games that's kind of, well, it's a classic, obviously. Mm. But also, like, it's quite easy up to a point. I mean, when I first got back into gaming and played the OG Spyro, I was doing fine until I had to do, like, a charge jump, and then I just couldn't do it. So, I mean, I'd show them it up to that point, unless they're much better at gaming than I am and they can just do it first time, which may be the case. And then for a present, I thought the next, like, step up is kind of like a linear story game that kind of, like, has a different controls, has a bit more maybe combat, or maybe just something a bit different. So I had three options, because we are in an abundance of games from this year. I put Kena, maybe Ratchet and Clank, or even, if you're feeling frisky, It Takes Two, Game of the Year.
Game of the Year award winner.
Yeah. I just thought, you know, they're easy enough to play, like, simple enough to play. They're pretty, so if you're, like, visually kind of someone who doesn't like gaming because they think, oh, it all just looks like Call of Duty and it's all grey and shooty and sandy, then maybe these kind of very visually appealing games would help a gal out. And also It Takes Two, obviously, you can play together, so you got that added bonus. And then in the future, for games coming out 2022, I kind of focused on, I thought, well, once you've played, like, a linear story, maybe you want to go for a bit of a bigger game. Maybe you want to go for something that's open world. Why not Horizon Zero Dawn or Horizon Forbidden West, even? Because that's a, you know, it's going to be a big game. Again, it's very pretty, or what we've seen so far anyway. And the controls are pretty simple again. And also, you know, there's a bit more, like, dynamic of how you play. And you can start to kind of find your feet with how you play games and what kind of things you like, whether you like to just blow things up or you like to tie them down, like, you know, that kind of situation. You can go a bit back and forth between the kind of different mechanics of the game and see which one fits you better. So I thought that would be a good kind of couple of games to show someone to get them in to gaming.
Great shout.
Thank you so much. Ben,
the Ghost
Potter,
of Christmas Fares.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
So the way I interpreted this was similar to Ashton, but the way I've decided to go about it is by showcasing games with, I think, outstanding narratives, where it's like, it's not... Yes, they may look at a game and think, or try it and think, I can't play this, it's too complicated, I don't understand the controls, I've never played games before, but I'm choosing to show someone who, in my mind, is snobby about games, that they're just a waste of children's time, that actually these can be big, important narrative stories that have meaning and can do things that film and TV and books can't. And so I've chosen three. Obviously, it was a bit of a gamble on the future one, because God knows.
Yeah.
But I've chosen three games that I think are of significant narrative importance to video gaming. So for gaming past, I've picked BioShock. I think if you can sit through BioShock and understand its themes, which are pretty on the nose, that you'll actually be, I think most people would be really intrigued by that. And rightly so, because it's a brilliantly written game.
Yeah.
And it's super interesting, plays with a lot of themes that do tie directly into books and other media. Gaming present, admittedly it's from a couple of years ago now. Wow, 3 years ago. God of War 2018.
Yeah.
I picked. A real familial tale, deals with all the classics, doesn't it, Peter? You know, classics?
Certainly
classics.
Does. Yeah.
All the classics.
All the hits.
Yeah.
And for gaming future, again, big swing here, Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga.
Mm-hmm.
No idea how this is going to turn out, but based on what's coming out that we know is coming out in the future, that I would say, having seen it at the Game Awards, looks pretty spectacular. It does. I would say that one as well, especially as it's a game that, that deals with mental health and mental illness and also is set in a sort of historical period as well, kind of, although slightly mythological. I think that would also hopefully intrigue someone who's maybe a bit sceptical about games and what they can offer them apart from a distraction. So those are my three.
Excellent.
Beautiful. All very good suggestions. So, Michael, if you've got your non-gamer in your life this Christmas, sit them down and force them to play all of the games that we just talked about. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peter?
Yeah?
Where are we going?
We're going to... let me just grab a... everyone ready? Yeah. We're going to... not a brand new section. It's an ancient section. Goes back 2,000 years to this very night. It's called Weird News.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode's Weird News is brought to us by the following podcast producers. Peter, kick us off.
Checkered Omega.
Ashton.
Oh, Sean Legg.
Trick 24.
Evan Breidenbach.
G.Y. Goliath.
Ellie Nicholas.
Hutker 10.
Melody L. Bonnet.
Harrison Kalman.
Dylan.
Gabrielle Philippink.
And Katie Garrett/Jared. Thank you so much, podcast producers.
Thank
if you'd
you.
Like to be a podcast producer, find out more at patreon.com/team-triple-jump. And now we're doing weird news. We did it. We actually did it without messing. Look at that. We followed the script.
I'm really proud
Peter's,
of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Peter's got the first piece of weird news.
I've got a weird news here. This one was submitted by Peter Austin, who found one all by himself.
Oh, what a big boy.
It's from Kotaku.com, because I'm not looking anywhere else. And it's written by Luke Plunkett, because who else would I go to for weird news?
No one.
Twitter suspends an Amazon Prime Video channel. Sorry, Twitch suspends an Amazon Prime Video channel, likely for NSFW reasons.
Oh.
This was on like Kotaku's homepage, wasn't it?
Well, it was. It's a very recent article, so I think that's partly what makes stuff go on the homepage. But it's bizarre. The subtitle is "It Be Your Own Channels" coming to Amazon Prime this summer. Thanks, Luke. I'm not really sure what that means.
I don't know what that was.
What the reference is. So here we go. Earlier today, and this was posted yesterday at time of recording, so on the 19th of December. Earlier today, Twitch suspended the channel belonging to Prime Video España. That's an official Amazon Prime Video channel, and Twitch is owned by Amazon. You can see it right here, hyperlink. With the suspension being instituted 5 hours ago at time of posting, this is the first time that any Amazon channel has had to be suspended from the Amazon-owned streaming platform, and what makes it really interesting is that it doesn't look like it was a technical hiccup or an administrative error. It appears the punishment is because the channel really did break the rules. As Dex... As Dexerto reports, while streaming the last episode for 2021 of the panel show Esto es un Latte, things got a little out of hand. Hours into the broadcast, which featured several prominent streamers, host and comedian Henar Alvarez said, "We're going for the ban. Let's go. They'll ban us," while lifting up her shirt, pictured above. The picture, fortunately, does not show outright nudity, but it's frames before it happened, I believe. She was joined by one of the other panelists, who pulled her own shirt down, briefly exposing a nipple. Oh!
Despicable.
Despicable. At first, the camera merely cut away, but when the stream returned and Alvarez did it again, this time momentarily exposing her own breast, the broadcast abruptly ended and was replaced by a title card. While we don't know if that's why the suspension was handed out, it certainly seems likely, as both Alvarez and the panelists' actions were in violation of Twitch's community guidelines on nudity, pornography, and other sexual content. Here's what those guidelines have to say about what was shown in the stream. "For those who present as women, we ask that you cover your nipples. We do not permit exposed underbust. Cleavage is unrestricted as long as these coverage requirements are met." What a weird set of rules.
What a weird sentence that is, isn't it?
That's very odd.
We do
that's a sentence that started very simply, I think, and then they just added more and more as violations occurred.
Yeah.
I think it's
you can do this
crazy
on the third Tuesday of every month, but only if it's a full moon.
Yeah.
As and we all just know that men don't have nipples, so I don't even know why they would have to say if you present as women, because men don't have nipples. You
they
know,
don't
it's
have
famous
them.
That men don't have nipples.
Yeah, don't have anything down there, just no, skin.
Just skin.
Well, that's what I was about to say. That's the weird thing is like that just shows how ridiculous the female versus male nipple is. For those who present as women, we ask that you cover your nipples. You know, people who might be, this is a whole, you know, can of worms, but people who are were perhaps assigned male at birth, but, you know, believe that they identify with the female gender, their nipple is not okay, but the same biologically male nipple in someone who is cis is fine. You know, that just shows how ridiculous it is. Everyone should be able to just get their nipples out, is what I'm saying, if they want to.
I always thought that the rule on Twitch was that no nipples at all. Not even like,
I mean, that would be better. That's, yeah, either all on, I wouldn't mind if it was no nipples at all, but
that's where I thought. I think all nipples are disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, people should be ashamed of having them. I've had mine removed. And if you could kindly, like, not say the word nipple anymore, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
I find it, I think it's disgusting.
I would prefer all babies go hungry for the rest of time.
Yeah, yep. I think nipples are a sign of the apocalypse, and really it's just a testament to how broken Britain is, you know, that people even want nipples to begin with. I think it's gross. Get rid of them. Get rid of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting.
The article concludes, "Because this is the channel's first ever suspension, it should be back online within the month, colon. Temporary suspensions range from 1 to 30 days. After the suspension is complete, you will be able to use our services once again. We keep a record of past violations, and multiple suspensions over time can lead to an indefinite suspension."
After Alvarez has gotten rid of the nipples, all of them,
it'll be all right.
After we've verified that all hosts on this channel from now on will not have nipples anymore.
No, we want you to be smooth like a Barbie doll.
All smooth,
nipples
and that
king
is is fine. Yeah.
Saint Nipless.
Very good.
Very, very good.
Good. It's well
festive.
Done.
wonderful.
What a weird story. Sorry, I don't know if I missed it when you were reading it, but like, what was the purpose? Because it sounds like they were intentionally trying to get banned. Why did they want that?
They just went, it's the last episode of the year.
Oh, okay.
Let's
so they just
get
thought,
banned.
Let's,
I think they were just feeling a bit excited and thought, we can do what we want, you know. Mm. There's an image in the in the article I'll send to you guys via Discord. Okay. Those of you watching/listening at home.
Oh wow, they really were just going for it.
They
huh?
were, yeah. I think you can see a tiny little bit of what Twitch refers to as underbust.
Underbust, yeah.
Disgusting. Awful.
But yeah, you can
the
read more on
the sexiest part
Kotaku.
Of a bust is the under of it.
The underside, yes.
Of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whispers of bust.
Yeah.
Yes.
essence.
A faint cooling of bust.
That's really strange.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I also have some news. It was submitted by Ashton Matthews.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Yeah. it's from Kotaku and written by CC Zhang. And it is Genshin Impact. Oh, it's in the odds and ends category because, of course.
Random.
Before you go any further, Ashton, can I tell you it's pronounced Genshin, actually, according to the Game Awards?
Yes. I was gonna say that exact same thing.
Oh, okay.
We've got Genshin Impact condoms are real. Oh, and
what?
And fans want them.
Right.
Zhongli.
I was gonna make a very, very low hanging fruit joke about.
Go for it.
That official title. No, I'm not going to because it's not very nice.
Was it
going
to say that Genshin Impact players won't need them?
Maybe.
Is that what you were going to...
No, absolutely not. That's okay. Not what I was going
to
say.
Okay. Zhongli wants you to practice safe sex and you should listen to him.
Oh, this is like the sexiest weird news we've had in a long time.
It is.
I'm really going to bring it crashing back down to earth.
Ever since Genshin Impact... developers legally sanctioned the commercial production of fan merchandise, I've been seeing all sorts of unusual Genshin products pop up on the internet. I thought I'd seen it all after the Zhongli titty mouse pad. Oh. I had not. I nearly burst a gut laughing when a friend linked me to the Zhongli condoms, unofficially designed and produced by fan artist Gigi. What a concept. I'm going to send you the article so that you can see the... image that I'm also seeing right now. They'll be in the description of the video so you can see it as well if you fancy. The tweet says, I'll take better product pictures once I open my shop, but the condom packages have a hologram coating, heart emoji, sparkle emoji.
Oh, look at the artwork on there.
What did that tongue do, huh?
I don't know. Oh. Producing the condoms was very expensive, but they are worth the price. They're extremely high quality, prayer hands emoji, sparkle emoji. According to the interior packaging, the latex condom is made without harmful chemicals, doesn't contain spermicide, and is fragrance-free. It includes a visual diagram of how to use a condom. The package also reminds users to check the expiration date and that they shouldn't be using scissors or teeth. These condoms aren't up for sale yet, but they will be. Zhongli is half dragon, half Quilin god, who's known as a powerful shield supporter in the Genshin meta. Normally, he protects the entire party with a jade shield that absorbs massive amounts of damage. He's so busted that I don't even bother to dodge attacks anymore. He's the perfect character to feature on something that protects people from sexually transmitted diseases. You know what? These condoms are a great idea. If plastering a famous gacha character on to a package is what it takes people to remember to use a condom, then I'm all for it. Safe sex is important. And though the creator said the condoms were expensive to produce, you know what costs more money? An unplanned pregnancy.
Yeah, it does.
It does. The community's responses has ranged from humour to admiration to scorn. Some of the jokes include shields you from massive responsibility and me and my wife about to have sex. Hold on, babe, I've got to get my Zhongdom.
Oh. Oh no.
The vast majority of quote retweets stated that Genshin players don't have sex. They are, Ben.
Okay, I'd just like to apologize for the joke I didn't make because it was mean and everyone's entitled to a nice, fulfilling sex life.
They're all proclivities. Even if the generalization were true, it might not matter. Some asexual commenters said that they want to buy the condoms for their Genshin collection, but not all of the reactions have been positive. A lot of quote retweets preface the photos of non-explicit condom packaging with content warnings, as if just the existence of condoms themselves is somehow offensive. Gigi is a Finnish artist, and he was surprised by some of the ignorance surrounding condoms in the reactions to his tweet. He said, I don't know if it's some kind of cultural differences, but a lot of the quote retweets had kind of puritanist vibes. Big yikes from me. Do kids even have proper sex ed in school anymore? I'm concerned, skull emoji. Some people have never been to Harajuku Condomania and it shows.
Condomania?
How do you spell that?
Condomania. Harajuku Condomania.
I've never been to Harajuku Condomania, I must admit.
Okay, Japan travel. Let's see. Your connection is not private. Back to safety. No, unsafe.
Escape. The last bit while you're looking it up is, while a lot of fans may be planning to buy them for decorative purposes, I really hope that these Yongdoms get some actual use. Safe sex is important, y'all.
I don't like it that they're gendarmes. That isn't that the police in like in France? The gendarmes.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, here
it's
it
mostly
is.
A novelty store, which means it's a great place to find inappropriate and ridiculous gifts and souvenirs, like for those odd friends back home and bachelorette parties. Penis straws, anyone?
I like how outside it says condomania and fun shop.
Fun shop.
Come here for all of your fun needs.
It also means you can pretend to be doing that while actually stocking up on their wide range of flavored, ribbed, studded, special sized, or glow-in-the-dark prophylactics and lubricants.
I just tried to access an article based in Japan about it, and it says that due to GDPR, I cannot access the website.
Oh no, they haven't done the terms of service.
No.
Not allowed in.
Nope. No entry.
That was weird.
Wow. That was pretty weird. Ben, are you going to really up the sex appeal?
Get ready for this. Yeah. We're staying in Japan now,
It's getting hot and spicy.
But I hope you're ready to, basically, for me to bring the news equivalent of a tax seminar, like how to pay your taxes. So here we go. Let's keep the steam rolling. This is from the Sixth Axis. And Stefan, who I think I know, but I'm not sure. It's been a long time. Right. Final Fantasy 14 removed from sale because it's just too darned popular.
Oh.
So popular.
What have you uploaded there, Ashton?
I've added a picture of one of the condoms that's in the shop.
Oh, no.
Please don't read it out loud. That's weird.
Please don't read it out loud.
Don't read that. I did not know they exist. But now I do.
Square Enix is going to stop selling Final Fantasy 14, but it's not because they want to kill off the MMORPG. No, it's because it's just too damn popular right now and their servers simply can't keep up with demand. It's been incredibly difficult to log in and play Final Fantasy 14 since the early access release of the major Endwalker expansion, with hours-long queues to get into a server. To combat this, Square Enix, what are you sending, Ashton?
I saw you typing. I was like, what's coming through now?
Just some things with anime women on him.
Ashton's fallen down a rabbit hole.
I have.
And we're suffering the consequences.
One of them says bottle lotion. And when I first read it, I thought it said bottom lotion, which...
well, maybe it is.
That I mean, it could be, but it would just be a strange way of wording it, wouldn't it? Hello, can guys, I have some bottom lotion, please?
Can we please focus on my thoroughly unsexy story?
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you. To combat this, Square Enix are cutting down on the influx of new players in several ways. Over the next few days, they will stop distribution of physical copies, as well as temporarily halt digital sales of the game, and will suspend new registrations for the free trial version of the game. They're also pulling advertising campaigns as soon as possible. All people that currently have the game or have a free trial account will still be able to play, but free players will be much more restricted in their access. Active subscribers will have prioritized login over free players, and free players will only be able to log in during late night and early morning hours. And then it goes on to talk about some kind of error. But essentially, the game is so popular that Square Enix can't keep up, and they're just going to stop selling it to people and stop advertising and pretend it doesn't exist and hope people... don't play it, which is ironically probably going to have the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Because while I have never been particularly interested in Final Fantasy 14, the idea that it's so good that they don't want to sell it to me makes me want to play it.
Yeah.
So, how dare they?
That's very strange. I mean, you'd think they would just up their infrastructure and stuff so that they can make shed loads of money off this very popular game rather than say, oh, well, as a business... We're no longer going to sell this very popular product because we just can't.
You have to imagine that they will do that, but apparently it's just reached critical mass and they just can't cope at all.
Man.
That's bonkers. I don't think I've heard of a game doing that before.
No.
Just sort of going dark and operating for existing players only.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Anyway. It's going to end up one of the people being like, I will sell you my copy of Final Fantasy XIV.
Yeah, it will be my login.
£7,000.
It will create a bonkers...
A Flappy Bird.
Market. It will be a Flappy Bird situation.
God, I will sell you my laptop with Final Fantasy installed on it and logged in.
Sometimes
£6 million.
I think about Flappy Bird's situation, and I think, like, what kind of world did we live in where, like, we just kind of, that was a thing, and we all just went with it? Like, people were selling their full phones.
Flappy Bird was crap as well.
I know. It wasn't actually that good. It was so random.
So bizarre that it took the world by storm. It's such a simple game as well, so basic. Yeah. It was not really any different to that copter, that flash flying game.
I had on my phone for ages.
Yeah,
I don't get it. It's bonkers. But people sold their PS4s for a premium with PT installed on it. They pulled that from the store, so yeah, same similar thing.
Mad.
Bonkers. Anyway, that's weird news. We've got a question here, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got a question here from Ernie Arrowsmith, the Lord of the Rings archer. Mm. Yes. Or Fletcher, probably. Season's greetings to all at Team Triple Jump. Thank you, Ernie.
Thank
you.
Thanks, Ernie.
What holiday what holiday traditions do you think would translate well to a video game format? Christmas decoration Tetris, last minute shopping meets Battle Royale, Peter Austin's family parlor games in VR. That would be a terrible idea. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, Ernie. Thank you, Ernie.
Thanks, Ernie.
Say hi to Bert for us.
Do please. Something that I hate doing in real life, but might be quite... in a kind of unpacking sort of way, it might be quite nice to be gamified, would be wrapping presents.
I put that down too.
Because I think that, you know, no one likes to unpack boxes in their house. Or maybe some people do. It's probably quite nice to try and find a place for everything. But, you know, there's lots of things that you would consider to be chores that have been gamified. You know, so I don't like wrapping presents, but maybe it would be nice to kind of have nice folds and like sellotape and stuff, and you know, there could be extra challenges. Maybe then there is also a Tetris element where you then have to put all the presents under the tree and fit them in, and I don't know, I just think like
as the levels get on, it gets more and more harder to wrap. It's like wrap a football or like a guitar or something.
I can see it being sort of weirdly kind of zen and therapeutic and satisfying to do, even though in real life it's just the goddamn worst thing. I'm so bad at it, you know? And maybe that's the other thing. Maybe because obviously with these kind of chore video games, sometimes when you do it in the game, it's easier to do and you end up with a nicer final product. So maybe I would find it satisfying that, in real life, I can't do a nice, neat wrapping, but maybe I'd be quite good at it in game. So that's what I'd like to try, something like that. You know, there'd be some nice Christmas music playing, and in the background, it'd be like there'd be a roaring fire and snow out of the window, and you're just folding it, sticking it down, maybe writing a nice tag on it. And then, as it gets harder... yeah, you get like footballs and bikes and stuff to wrap.
Wrapping a bike.
Yeah. Or maybe just unwrapping, you know, like unpacking, just tearing paper off presents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ashton.
Yeah. I this is not my answer, but there's this new trend on like TikTok at the moment of people wrapping presents as things that they are not. Someone's like, I got my sister a phone and wrapped it, and it looked like a treadmill. I don't know how, it's crazy. Some of them are, like, mad. Like, this one's probably, like, making it like a bike and stuff. But there was one that just looked like, he wrapped it so it looked like a treadmill. And I was just baffled by how he would even achieve that.
He bought his sister a phone for Christmas. His sister.
Well, TikTok's got that TikTok money, me.
I suppose so.
But my answer was... I put like a wrapping mini game situation, but also I quite like the idea of a Christmas dinner cooking rhythm game, because as we all know, it's all about timing.
It's just timing.
It's just timings.
It's just timing. So I thought, I mean, I don't mind cooking a roast dinner, but it's a bit of a faff. So, and I used to really like cooking Mama as well. So maybe like a game that's all about cooking a Christmas dinner. That's all just timing, and if you mess it up, you overcook your peas or something, or
overcooked peas.
Your chicken's a bit undercooked, and you ruined Christmas and your cousin's crying and your grandma's had a heart attack and, you know...
And your granddad's like, why the hell have you served chicken and not turkey on Christmas?
Exactly.
What the hell are you doing?
Yeah. And your racist aunt's there and she just keeps talking and you can't just feed her to make her be quiet. She just keeps...
She's always there.
Yeah. And you've ruined Christmas because you messed up your rhythm game.
Yeah.
So. The stakes are very high.
They are. Yeah.
They are. You like rhythm games, don't you, Ashton?
Yeah, I'm really good at them.
Space Jam really or Christmas?
We could chew,
Space
chew, chew,
Christmas.
Chew, chew, chew.
You won't be able to chew, 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 because it'll be too tough.
Oh, very good.
Oh, nice.
Thanks. I'd also want to, clear my name a bit about Weirdest Games that's come out this week, because I've had a lot of stick about being bad at this game, and because Peter obviously mugs me off straight in front of my face.
Yeah, he did.
But I'd like to just point out, if you go back in the video and you watch me attempt the bit that Peter does a second time, once I understood how to play the game, I actually do quite well. And some would say as good as Peter did in doing it for the first time. And I know it looks bad because Peter just picked up the controller and nailed it first time. But, you know, I want to clear my name and say I wasn't actually just really bad at the game. The game just was hard to play. That's all.
Also, a couple of people have said that that game apparently has infamously tight windows to actually do your input, and then on top of that, when you emulate, apparently it's a thing where like that game is not really very emulatable because of like input delay and stuff.
Well, we always do our research here, don't we?
Yeah,
we do. Yeah,
always.
So we had a few comments from people saying, yeah, actually, like this game, you can't really play it with an emulator; it just doesn't work properly.
I didn't do very well either, Ashton.
No, that's so true.
You know,
but no one was talking about that.
No.
That's good.
But it was only the first set of instructions as well that I did. Like, probably the easiest one in the entire game. And yeah, I did it right. But like, if I'd been trying to do the bit where you were fighting that, whatever the hell it was, you know.
Cocoa Tapioca.
Yeah, that one. Oh, maybe I'd have struggled just as much. Who's to say?
Yeah.
But that's how Christmas dinner gets ruined.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Ben, what game Christmas tradition do you want to make into a video game?
So I don't know if it's necessary Christmas traditions, but I think a Christmas themed unpacking level would be really nice. I've not played unpacking, but from how people have described it, it sounds lovely. And if one of them was your living room and you had a box full of Christmas decorations, I think that'd be really nice.
Yeah, it would.
Find a place for all the bits to go. Lovely stuff. And the other one I've written down is a Microsoft Flight Sim expansion called Father Christmas's Journey.
That would be so good.
And you fly across at night time in a sleigh and you, I don't know, drop presents. Or maybe it's because it's Flight Sim and they can't add that kind of functionality. You literally just fly from location to location and you just have to fly all the way around the world. But you go like you got Father Christmas powers. I don't know. But that could be fun.
Could be fun unless you like crash, and that could be really
and you ruin Christmas. Yeah.
Can you kill Father Christmas in Microsoft Flight Sim? That's what we need to find out.
Yeah. How soon can you kill him? Can we do a speed run? Death percent
and just drop out of the sky.
Yeah.
How does it work? Do you like does Rudolph have a throttle? Like
I think ease
up on the Rudolph. Ease up on the Rudolph.
Yeah.
Deploy landing feet. I suppose I don't really know. It could be fun, though. Could be a fun little
I like the idea that it's like a really low effort, just reskin of an aircraft, and there's just like jet noises, and the reindeer aren't animated. They're just static.
Yeah.
And the hitbox is like four times as wide as Santa Claus is.
Yeah, you've got massive wings, even though you can't see them.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Yes, I would play that. That sounds fun to me.
When you were younger, I don't know if maybe you were too old when this was a big thing. I don't say too old, I mean like
I know what you're gonna say.
Too old of a teen. Did you ever sit around the Christmas Eve and watch that website that told you where Santa was currently?
We saw it once. Yeah.
The Santa tracker,
like the NASA thing.
Yeah.
No, I've never done that.
Oh. I saw it the first year. Well, it might not have been the first year that they did it, but it was very early, like when I was very young. I think they did like a kind of a very early iteration of it. And I remember my dad showing me and I was kind of like, my mind was blown. But like now when they do it, they have like an animated Santa and you can like see him flying and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. But like back then it was like this really basic map that just kind of had him flying and stuff.
Was it on teletext?
No, I can't remember if it was
maybe. A
teletext version.
It was either on teletext or on the internet. I remember watching this really grainy, low quality thing in the early days. But yeah, since then it's now on the internet. It's like a live stream, I think.
I can't say I've ever looked at it. I have a weird fuzzy memory of maybe a phone line that you could call to find out where Santa was, but I don't know. Like I really honestly don't remember. I don't think I ever did it.
We used to sit around, we had went to a friend's house on Christmas Eve every year, and we used to be like, oh, get the little laptop out, and we'd all sit around the laptop and be like, oh, look, he's in Chile. Wow. Ooh. But I think it was never that, like, I don't know how it worked, but it would never get to you. It would always be, like, somewhere else, because obviously if you're checking the thing, you're awake.
He's already been.
And Santa's not been yet because you're awake. So I used to just remember we used to sit around it. And then as we got older, or as I got older, because I was always the oldest, they'd be like, oh, Ashton, do you want to see where Santa is? And I'd be like, no, I don't care where Santa is. I don't care. But then I'd secretly be like looking at the screen and be like, where is Santa? Is he nearby? I hope he's close. That's all the little
okay, here we go.
Toys.
It's NORAD, sorry, not NASA.
NORAD, and, yes.
They've been doing it since 1955.
Yeah, we covered it on Podius.
We did, didn't we?
Well, yeah, a long time ago.
I thought I did have an early memory of it being on the internet. You're right, Ben, that there was a telephone hotline for a time until the 90s, from the 50s to the 90s. But then as early as 1997, the programmers had a highly publicized internet presence. And I do remember my dad showing, and I know it must have been pre-2000 because it was in the house that we lived in back then. So in the kind of the pretty early days of my internet experience, I remember this really kind of grainy thing of Santa. So it must have been 97, 98 or something when I saw it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
NORAD. Oh, that has really unlocked some
NORAD
key memories for me. It looks very very fancy now. It's got like mini games. It's all got an arcade and a theatre.
Mini games. Jesus.
Wow. I know what I'm doing today.
It's time for, you're going to work. It's time for the big discussion. Are you guys ready?
Yeah. Certainly am.
Are you guys ready for it?
Yeah.
Yes. Here comes the big discussion.
Big discussion.
It's the big discussion. Big discussion time. This week's big discussion comes courtesy of Callum Story, who says, hey guys, short questions with potentially long answers. Why do you think that a lot of Christmas-based slash themed games are slash were so terrible? And do you think we'll see a return of Christmas-themed games now that the technology and quality of games have improved immensely since the 90s early 2000s? Or 90s to early 2000s, I think. I'm discounting games that just so happen to be set on or around Christmas, but the game has nothing to do with Christmas, e.g. Yakuza Kiwami. Hope you three and everyone in the Walrus Clan have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. All the best. And it's on a different page for me. Callum. There we are. Fantastic. Peter, we played a couple of Christmas games, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Well, so that's the funny thing. My answer was initially going to be, I think part of the problem with Christmas games being bad is that a lot of them are movie tie-ins. And I think that's just symptomatic of the movie tie-in, whether it's Christmas or not. You know, they're usually kind of a bit rubbish. So there's like, I mean, I've got a list coming out. I think it might actually be out already by the time this podcast goes out. If not, it'll be next week. I can't remember without looking at the schedule off the top of my head. But it's worst Christmas games, the 10 worst Christmas games of all time. And a fair few of them are movie tie-ins. There's an Elf one. There's the Santa Claus with an E one. You know, there's all kinds of movie time ones, The Grinch and so on. And I think that is just a problem that you get with movie tie-in games, in that you can't necessarily like for like sort of gamify the events of a movie. You know, you need to always have, you know, some kind of threat, or certainly in the early days of gaming, where it's probably a side-scrolling platformer with enemies and an objective. You know, nowadays you can make games that don't have a constant ongoing threat or don't have villains or too much action in them. You can have, you know, just interesting stories and so on. But certainly in the earlier days of gaming, you kind of had to have enemies and you had to have obstacles and things like that, and that doesn't translate very easily from games. And then even if from movies, sorry. And then even if you put movies to one side and just talk about Christmas games, for example, Santa Claus Saves the Earth and what was the other one called?
Days Before Christmas.
A recent worst games ever. You still have kind of the same issues that you would have anyway with a movie tie-in game, even if it isn't a movie tie-in game, in that just Christmas as a thing, it forces your hand in the 90s to 2000s. You have to come up with Christmas-themed enemies, you know, evil snowmen and I don't know what. I mean, there was like a hyena in Santa Claus Saves the Earth. I don't know why. So I think it's actually just quite difficult, or it was quite difficult, to extract the integral components of a video game from the whole theme of Christmas, you know, back once upon a time. And nowadays, I think if someone did set out to make a Christmas-themed game, they would have a better chance of doing something more interesting, more charming, more enjoyable. But I don't think anyone's in a rush to do so. And partly I think that might be because the whole thing is tainted because of the earlier efforts. So I don't think necessarily that we'll see a return of Christmas-themed games. But I think that if someone did have to make one, if you got a gun out and said, make a Christmas game, I think with today's technology, you could make something more interesting. You know, you could do like a nice walking sim, or, you know, just some kind of narrative story-based game rather than yet another rubbish 2D side-scroller that may or may not be based on a movie, which is it's just going to be bad whichever way you do it. Ashton?
Yeah.
I think in the same way that very rarely do you get a Halloween game, you know, you get horror games that are popular around Halloween, but you don't necessarily get Halloween games. You won't get a Christmas game. You'd get a game that's set around Christmas, or a wintry game that is, you know, winter based. Because, like you're saying, it's very difficult to make a game based on a holiday, which is so different around the world. Like, our Christmas is completely different to the Christmases of, you know, Australia or Japan or even like Finland. Like, our Christmases are very different.
Yeah.
Compared they have chocolate grandma in one of them, which they is do. Really
chocolate
weird.
Chocolate grandma. But yeah, like, it's difficult because, like I say, it's every individual family in every individual country has their own Christmas traditions. And it's, you can't kind of condense that into your, like, a video game. But also, I think that there are, you know, there are things about Christmas that can, would, like, go very well to be a Christmas video game situation. Like, if you've got a kid that's, you know, stowed away with Santa and you've got to get it home or something, or a kid's kind of creeping around and it's trying to find Santa in the house, and you kind of make it, like you're saying, a walking sim or a nice little narrative ditty of just a child being happy for Christmas. You know what I think would make a really good game? The Polar Express.
Right,
it can't look any worse.
I know, it can't look any worse. But, like, the Polar Express is a really... The story of that is kind of quite... Might make a quite a good game. Because once you get to the North Pole, obviously, he's, like, going through all of, like, the, like, present area. And they're trying to get back to Santa to see Santa and stuff. And they're going through... They see the sleigh and they're going through all of the pipes where all the presents go, and they're trying to get the presents and stuff. And I think that's quite a fun little bit of a game, of a movie that you could translate quite nicely into a game. But I think that it's too niche, and you only get people to play it or buy it around Christmas time anyway.
Yeah, that's the other problem. It doesn't make business sense.
Yeah,
really.
So you go like 11 months without selling it, and then around Christmas, maybe you sell like a couple of copies or something, but you need to make sure that your game's going to sell all year round to make a profit. Otherwise, it's not going to, you know, you're not going to make a profit. So I think that's why Christmas games just don't work, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No, that's bang on. That's exactly what I've put down here as well. Why would you? And it's the same for Halloween, as you said. Why would you create a game with such a short shelf life? No big company is going to willingly plonk down, you know, tens, hundreds of millions of dollars for something like that. So the only people willing to take a gamble are those with either an official movie license, like Home Alone, or smaller independent companies looking to flip something and cash in for a month out of the year. Mm. You know, so you'll find a lot of Christmas games on Steam. I don't know that any of them are really particularly good.
Yeah.
So there we are. I absolutely do not believe that we will ever get a really good Christmas game. Mm. I don't think it'll happen. We might get a really good game that happens to be set at Christmas, and we've had plenty of those.
Mm.
Yeah.
We might get an oddity from an indie dev on Steam that's sort of a delightful one-off. But honestly, that's likely all, isn't it? I mean, the walking sim idea is a really good idea, Peter. I think that would be really nice. You know, just like a two-hour game where you're going around like a picturesque English village,
yeah.
And it's the snowfall, and you know, someone gives you a mince pie, and maybe there's very low stakes, but it's just.
But it just doesn't make sense to do. Like it's a nice idea, and it would be a good game, but no one is going to do it unless it's sort of just like you say, incidentally Christmas in it.
Yeah,
it would have to be ready for Christmas as well. Yeah. It's not like Resident Evil where you could have all the intention in the world to release it in October, but ultimately, even if you release it in April, it doesn't matter. It's still Resident Evil and it will sell. And it's also just really hard to come up with an original Christmas idea for a game. You look at the answers I gave for the previous question, and it was just the Christmas spirit applied to existing games, you know? Devs are in sort of a really tough position to try and come up with something good, and that's why the Christmas games, certainly in our experience, are nearly all crap side-scrollers.
Yeah, know, typically the best thing to do is just do a seasonal DLC or something like that, or just a level within a game. You know, we've talked about this sort of ad nauseum, really, on the channel, whether it's in lists or in previous podcasts or other videos and things. But there are some really nice Christmassy-themed DLCs and levels of games. You know, I've talked before about the level in Bully, which is you know, that game normally has a day night cycle and you have to get to bed before like 9 p.m. or something, but the one day of the year in that whole game where you don't have that constraint is the Christmas one, and that's because there's so much to do. You wake up on Christmas morning, and if you only had like 12 in-game hours, you would not be able to do it all. So you have like an infinitely long day, and there's, you know, the whole world has been reskinned, and there's costumes and activities and missions and all sorts of stuff to do. So and there's a good Saints Row one, isn't there? I think
the Saints Save Christmas or something like that. I think that's meant to be pretty good. Borderlands 2 has a great one. But these are the examples that Peter and I have been offering for like 5 or 6 years at this point in various places. But it's so hard to make an original Christmas game, and why would you? Because you'll only be able to sell it for a month.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. So,
imagine trying to sell a Christmas game in January. The game's been out for a month or less. Or maybe you'd release it late November. No one's going to buy it after Boxing Day.
Games are just too expensive to make. And Christmas films are seemingly, it's more of a lucrative market. You know, you can make back your budget pretty easily.
Yeah.
Games, there's absolutely no guarantee of that. You know, no guarantee at all.
Well, you talk about
there's just too many games released every day.
Yeah. You talk about the fact that there's like, it's really hard to think of a new Christmas story or something you can make a game out of. But I just look at the movies. All the movies are exactly the same.
They're all the same.
They're all telling the same story in the same way. And of course, if cinema can't do it, then what chances have video game companies got to make a game that will actually do well? It's mad.
It is. I would love for a company to take a big swing and just with the plan that they will sell copies every year in December. Someone just makes a really good Christmas game that just becomes a must play for millions of people every Christmas. Like, oh, it's the beginning of December. I've got my advent calendar. I've put up my decorations. I'm watching Home Alone. I'm watching Die Hard. And it's time to play through the Christmas Folly in quite Englishville, you know, just the 1 hour walking sim where it's all festive and it's the good Christmas game and you can play it really, you know, really quickly and finish
every streamer would play it at Christmas.
Someone could do it, but there's no market for more than one of those for sure. That would be it, you know. It's the same with Christmas music as well. Everyone has a go at a Christmas song. We did. We didn't make it into the charts, sadly.
No,
but,
sadly
you know,
not. That might have been because we're only selling 100 copies.
So yeah, that may do it.
That held us back.
Certified platinum over here.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, there we are. Of course, let us know what you think about everything we've discussed in the comments below and at the various other places around the internet you can find us. Peter is going to tell you a few of them right now.
Hello, we are Team Triple Jump everywhere on the internet that's worth being. You can go to youtube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump to see our videos and live streams. When we're streaming on both of those channels, we're modded by Lord Brotovich, Trolling Badger and Mr. Black. And on the subject of Twitch, you know, if you've got Amazon Prime, that has a little Twitch sub as part of the bundle. So you can spend that on us if you're not using it already. Or if you are, maybe take it off that rubbish channel that you subscribe to and put it on ours.
Give it to us.
We've got social media, twitter.com and facebook.com, both /Team Triple Jump. There used to be a bit of a distinction between the two, but now we've got quite a lot of crossover, really. So you can head to either of those and get video announcements and little bits of community, kind of discussion and so on and so forth. Fraser's doing an excellent job looking after Facebook and Twitter as well, to a certain extent. So thank you. We've got Patreon as well. You can go to patreon.com/Team Triple Jump to have a look at all of our tiers. Hey, maybe this Christmas you might want, you know, an exclusive t-shirt, or you might want to get a signed copy of Worst Games Ever and Weirdest Games Ever for yourself or for a loved one. I mean, I'm not saying that stuff would be with you in time for Christmas at this point, but you could, you know, do it as a little late treat to yourself. So go check out the rewards on there. There's all kinds of stuff. Go and have a look.
We also have a website. It's triplejerk.mup. That's triplejerk.mp, spells jump. If you want to join our Discord, you can go to triplejerk.mup/Discord, where you can talk to all of our wonderful community and see what they're chatting to. When we're on Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And if they tell you to do something, do it. Thank you. If you want to listen to this podcast, maybe you are, I made this comment a couple weeks ago, but maybe this time you really are driving home for Christmas on this fine Christmas Eve, or maybe you just know that you're gonna have to listen to your racist aunt at the table and you want to put some headphones in and listen to something a bit nicer. You can listen to our podcast in all of its audio forms by going to triplejerk.mup/podcast. If you want to watch our VODs, if you miss any of our live streams from the last couple of weeks/months/ever, you go to triplejerk.mup/VODs to catch up on them. And last but not least, if you want to get yourself some merch, maybe you've got some Christmas money to spend, you go to triplejumpshop.com and purchase a t-shirt, a jumper, a scarf, maybe a tin or a pin. Go to triplejumpshop.com to find out what we've got and to make sure you're up to date on all of the new merch news, or just to tweet us about the new merch you may or may not receive for Christmas. Tweet us at triplejumpshop on Twitter.
Yes, I'm here. Hello, sorry.
Hello.
Why not follow Scrambled Ashton? I've already messed it up. I was in my own world there for a second. Why not follow Peter and Ashton on Instagram and Twitter at @ThatPeterAustin and @ScrambledAshton, and myself just on Twitter at @Confused_Dude. We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. That continues, by the way, through the Christmas break. Loads of stuff coming for you.
Yeah.
Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Thursday being the stream on YouTube, the joint stream. What's going on with my brain? And the other days being the solo streams on Twitch. Obviously, there'll be none of those over the next week or so. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly, Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everyone else. The podcast is every Saturday. We do shows all the flippin' time. Go check them out. Why not leave a 5-star review on iTunes or your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
We've got loads coming your way. Facebook.com/Team Triple Jump. Please go and follow the page. Merry Christmas for tomorrow. Hope you have a brilliant time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's the worst games ever week, isn't it, Peter?
Certainly is. It was, sort of a Christmassy one, but it wasn't. Because if you are a patron, you got it on today. Today you get it. But if you're not a patron, you get it on Boxing Day. So sorry about that.
Yeah.
But don't worry, we didn't pick a Christmas game because that would be very confusing for everyone involved. And we wouldn't want to do that to you on Boxing Day.
Absolutely not.
We wouldn't.
But it's another excellent edit by your boy James Henkins.
James Henkins.
So go have a look at that. Absolutely. Ben, you've got a video coming out soon as well, haven't you?
Certainly do. We've got a big sort of New Year's, I suppose that's the time, because we got a video coming out on New Year's Eve, we got a video coming out on New Year's Day, and we got a video coming out on the 2nd of January as well. And there are three big videos. One of them, of course, is Triple Jump Isn't Changing, where we sort of reflect on the year and thank everyone for their contributions that allowed us to do what we do this year. We've got the longest ranked list we have ever done in the morning on New Year's Day, and that is specifically timed to help people with a hangover from New Year's Eve. And also, it's very much a tradition of ours to put a big old ranked list on New Year's Day.
So when you wake up, you sound like Ben. You
can
pop
but
that
you
on.
you feel like I sound.
Yeah.
Are we announcing what it is, or should we just let it be?
Well, I think before it goes out, we'll have put the social media post out, the YouTube community post out. So, because I mentioned that's it the other day on something that's going out near the time on the on the Triple Jump Isn't Changing. But
we can say what it is then.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Maybe we should.
Well, every Mario video game ranked from worst to best, every single one,
all of them,
all the spin-offs.
Yeah,
149 entries were there.
I feel like there were more.
I think 149 sounds familiar. I think it's certainly quite a round number.
There were around 150 entries, basically, and it is hours and hours long.
yes.
The word count when it came through from Philip was absolutely shocking compared to the longest list we'd previously done.
It's an hour longer than our previous longest list.
Yeah.
It's obscene. So please go and watch that. And if anything, a big old educational trip through all of Mario's games. Every single one, even the very weird ones. And obviously those are ranked near the bottom, so you get to hear about those first. All the weird stuff. But then the day after, it's another launch game video. The first launch game video of 2022, where I'll be talking about the Sega Saturn. Mm-hmm. That tragic, short-lived Sega console between the Mega Drive, or the Genesis, if you want to get embarrassed about this, and the Dreamcast. So make sure you go check that out. Putting some hard work on it. Had a lot of help from Sam from Cultaholic, making an intro and using his Sega Saturn because he's a big Sega fan. So there's a ton of stuff coming your way before we're back in the first week of January, at which point live streams will resume. But Peter may not stream because the Monday's a bank holiday for us, but we'll see what happens. We'll let you know what is going on. But pay attention to our social media. There's a flip ton of stuff coming out. Is there anything you guys want to say to the audience before we bugger off for a couple of weeks?
Just a big thank you and a Merry Christmas, as we will do in the Triple Jump Isn't Changing video. Much love to you all.
I hope that you have get everything you want from Santa Claus this year, and that you get thoroughly stuffed with food and beverages all Christmas long, and you are happy about it. That's what I'd like.
Hope you're happy about it.
Hope you're bloody happy.
Yes. Thanks.
Another quick thing is that the Patreon post is now live for people to submit their three favorite games of the year. It's fully explained in that post how it all works. There will be a second round of voting, or there'll be a first and only round of voting, I suppose. We'll put all your suggestions into a poll. And so look out for that in the first week of January. But for now, if you're a patron, go submit your games of the year and have your say in our Game of the Year show, which will be our first podcast back in January. Stay safe. Get your booster if you can.
Yep.
Wear a mask if you can. Avoid contact with other people if you're at all worried. And be safe and protect those around you. And we will hopefully, we'll see, but we'll hopefully be in the same room come January, but maybe not.
Depends.
Until next time. Ashton has the ad read.
Yes, I'll give you the reading again. Because I think it's Christmassy. I have closed it though, so bear with 2 seconds. I'll just
make it up. Okay. It'll be just as good.
Ahem.
'Twas the 5 nights before Christmas, when all through the Pizzaplex, not a creature was stirring, except for a mouse android thing. The stockings were hung by the pizza oven with care, in the hopes that the big chicken one would soon be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while I pooped my pants at the sight of their scary Freds.
Excellent.
Five nights at Freddy's before Christmas.
Beautiful.
Merry Christmas. Wonderful.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
next time. Love ya.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.